Action. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment as well as in self-realization. Purport. It is said by less intelligent men that bhakti yoga or devotional service is meant for persons who are not advanced in transcendental knowledge and renunciation. But the fact is that if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, he does not have to attempt separately to practice detachment or to wait for an awakening of transcendental knowledge. It is said that one who engages unflinchingly in the devotional service of the Lord actually has all the good qualities of the demigods develop in him automatically. One cannot discover how such good qualities develop in the body of a devotee, but actually it happens. There's one instance where a hunter was taking pleasure in killing animals, but after becoming a devotee, he was not prepared to kill even an ant. Such is the quality of a devotee. Those who are very eager to advance in transcendental knowledge can engage themselves in pure devotional service without wasting time in mental speculation. For arriving at the positive conclusions of knowledge in the Absolute Truth, the word Brahma Darshanam is significant in this verse. Brahma Darshanam means to realize or to understand the transcendence. One who engages in the service of Vasudeva can actually realize what Brahman is. If Brahman is impersonal, then there's no question of darshanam, which means seeing face to face. Darshanam refers to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Unless the seer and the seen are persons, there's no darshanam. Brahma darshanam means that as soon as one sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can at once realize what impersonal Brahman is. A devotee does not need to make separate investigations to understand the nature of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, a devotee at once becomes self-realized soul. A devotee at once becomes a self-realized soul in the Absolute Truth. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Yat Brahma Darshanam. Engagement in Krishna consciousness and application of devotional service unto Krishna make it possible to advance in knowledge and detachment as well as in self-realization. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport from the Bhagavad Gita, which he also did in the previous verses. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. A devotee at once becomes a self-realized soul in the Absolute Truth. This verse, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, is the answer of the third question Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna. Khatam chaitam strin gunan ativartate, which means, how does the devotee transcend the modes of material nature? And then that's the reply. Lord Krishna replies, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. He just said, has to engage in devotional service. And if he uninterruptedly, without any break, engages in devotional service, then at once he transcends the modes of material nature. Trin gunan, trin, like in your language also. 3, Russian also 3, in German 3, in English 3, Trigunan, the three most material, immediately transcend. No more influence. Practical. Just like now, we engage in Shravanam, one of the nine activities of devotional service. And as long as we engage in that, hearing about Krishna, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing, we do not feel the influence of the most of material nature. Do you? Is it not? You don't feel ignorant or passionate or whatever. Just engage in devotional service, so nice. We're hearing, thinking about Krishna, discussing about Krishna. But as soon as the Bhagavatam stops, then oh ho ho. Then again, some influence might be there, and we become restless. And immediately we tend to change our Vaishnav cloth and run out mode of passion. Of course, unless we have to do some service for Krishna, that is different. In another sense, you can, of course, we engage even the most of material nature, like the Kshatriya is supposed to be influenced by the mode of passion, Brahmanas, goodness. But in one class, Srila Prabhupada says, ignorance, we have to come out. You cannot engage ignorance in Krishna's service. So that is the first requirement in practicing devotional service. One has to come out of this mode of ignorance. So we should not confuse the mode of ignorance with the mode of goodness. Just doing nothing and feeling okay. When we come to Krishna consciousness, primarily we are influenced by the mode of ignorance. And then we have to get out, which means we have to become active for Krishna. Very active first. This is why we always request the devotees, the young devotees, when they join Krishna consciousness, be active for Krishna, do something. Chant Hare Krishna and render various services with your various senses, knowledge acquiring senses, working senses. You have to do, you have to work, you have to endeavor. And then everything becomes purified more and more, and then we are gradually being elevated to the mode of goodness. We become fixed in the mode of goodness, which does not necessarily mean we perform our occupational duty or service like the Brahmanas. But the Brahmanas, I mean to say the Kshatriyas, administrators, they also have to cultivate the mode of goodness. Everybody has to do. Otherwise we cannot be elevated to the transcendental platform. Everybody must cultivate the mode of goodness, which means getting up early in the morning. Just because I have an administrative occupation, it does not mean I can get up late. I must get up early. Mode of goodness, everybody has to do. Prasadam, mode of goodness, transcendental even. And so many other cleanliness of the body, cleanliness of the mind, everybody must cultivate the mode of goodness if he is interested at all to become Krishna conscious. But the occupation, that might differ, which is more related to our predominant nature, so that we are satisfied in our ongoing service we render. So that might differ. One devotee performs occupational, I mean to say administrative occupation, another one brahminical occupation, another one vaishya occupation, shudra occupation. So that doesn't matter. But everybody must cultivate the mode of goodness. Then Srila Prabhupada refers to a verse which we find in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, that a devotee who engages in devotional service, he develops all the good qualities we find in the devatas and the demigods. Yasa deva para bhaktiya yata deva tata gurau tasaiti katita hiyata prakashante mahatmanaha. Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Prabhupada refers to that verse in the purport. And there it is mentioned that only unto those great souls who render unalloyed devotional service to the Guru, spiritual master, and to Krishna, all the purports, all the purports, you understand the meanings, the meaning, all the meaning, the various meanings of the Vedic literatures are being revealed, understood. We can study for lifetimes, many lifetimes, the Vedic literatures, but if there's no service rendered to the Guru and Krishna, of course, then we will not understand properly. We might possess so much knowledge, but the realization, understanding, that is still different. Jnan, vijnan, that understanding, realization, that's the blessing of Guru and Krishna. Then we can understand things properly as they are. Because so many seeming contradictions we even find in the Vedic literatures. Even Bhagavad Gita, Karta, Akarta, classic example. One verse, the soul is being described as performing activities. Another verse, performing no activities. Now what is this? And then, of course, I can find references wherever I want. Normally, this is what is happening when we study the Vedas. We already have some pre-conclusion or something I think I understood, and I want to find references. Then I go through all the books and so on to substantiate, to support what I think I understood. And the same thing, Karta Arkata, you can find references, so much support, that the soul is not active in this world. It is in a sleeping, unmanifested condition. Even Bhagavad Gita seems to confirm. What is that verse? Seems to confirm. Ahankara vimudhatma kataham iti manyate. That verse. How does it start? Prakritin kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Yes. Ahankara vimudhatma. So, out of false ego, the conditioned soul thinks that he's performing activities, but in actuality everything is being carried out by the most immaterial nature. So it seems to be completely confirmed. But if we really analyze this verse, do we really think that the most immaterial nature perform activities? Which means the gunas must be personalities. They're not personalities. Guna, mode. How can a mode of nature perform activities? Of course it doesn't work. But Lord Krishna wants to emphasize a particular point. The example is given of the person cutting a tree with an axe. So you can say both the axe is cutting the tree, or you can say the person is cutting the tree. Depends on what you want to emphasize. If you want to emphasize that the person cannot cut a tree without the axe, then you say the person is cutting the tree, not the axe. The axe without the person cannot do anything, just lying there. But if you want to emphasize the point that the person cannot cut a tree without the axe, then you say the axe is cutting the tree, but without the person, like this. So according to what Lord Krishna emphasizes in the Bhagavad Gita, then we find a particular statement, karta or akarta. The soul cannot do anything in this world without the modes of material nature, without a body, without senses. The soul cannot be active in this material world. So Lord Krishna wants to emphasize this point, and of course that he is the supreme controller. Conditioned soul cannot factually control anything. Only if his karma allows it, or if the Supreme Lord sanctions it, or the higher authorities, higher beings, the demigods, all those elements, when they allow, sanction, then the conditioned soul can perform some activities. So this is why sometimes we find even a seeming contradictory statements in the Vedas. So now how to understand properly? That understanding, yes, Devi Pada Bhakti, that will come. If a service is rendered to Guru and Krishna, that understanding, that realization will come. And of course also by hearing the purpose, explanations of self-realized souls. So both Guru, those who instruct, and mercy of Guru and Krishna, then everything is being understood properly. Gaurangira Bhakta Jani, Srila Prabhupada refers to the hunter Migrari. Just by rendering service to Narada Muni, his spiritual master, also interesting, that yes, Narada Muni took very nicely care of Narada Muni, but related to the yesterday morning discussion, it was not that Narada Muni visited Migrari every day, not even every week. Just in the beginning a little bit, and then he went his own way, traveling all over the universe, in fact, from universe, to the spiritual sky, Vaikuntha. So we should, again, I'm emphasizing the point, the disciple should not overly demand. Why overly? He should not demand anything. It's not the proper etiquette of a disciple. He should not demand, expect, or even attempt to teach the spiritual master what he should do or not do. And then he's not qualified to accept any guru. But he should be happy to be able to render service and assist spiritual master in his mission. So, related to that point, how Narada Muni transformed Migrari, the former hunter. There's one nice verse Srila Prabhupada quotes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is mentioned, Gaurangira Bhakta Jani, Jani Jani Shakti Dhare. The devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very powerful, and each and every one of them can deliver the whole world. Bhagavad, in that similar quotation is there from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhagavat Tulashikangaya Bhakta Jani, Chatuda Vikraha Krishna E Charishane. Nice verse. In Sanskrit we have to, Bengali we have to pronounce properly also. Sanskrit we are learning, but Bengali has to be pronounced properly. I'm quite sure that Srila Krishna Kshetra Prabhu can confirm this. It must be pronounced properly. See this, when you have the letter Y, is it in English? Y, like yoga. If you have the letter Y, then there are two different Ys. One you pronounce ja, the other ya. And you have to know. That's why the transliteration sometimes is not good, because we only find one Y. But there are two different Ys. And in the original Bengali script, you can see. Because one has a dot underneath, the other one not. So accordingly, you have to pronounce ja or ya. So this jada, what is that verse? Jada deke tarikoi Krishna upadesh. That's jadi, not yadi, yadi. Or in the morning, when we chant the Guru Puja, also, everything Bengali, you have to pronounce properly. One time, Jayapataka Maharaj, he visited the Czech Republic, Prague temple, and the devotees, one Czech devotee was chanting in the morning, Siguru Charana Padma, and then, because Jayapataka Maharaj, he speaks, of course, fluent language, Bengali language, and he pointed out to us that Of course, you know, he knows the meaning of the song, but he was just listening with the Bengali ears. And he said, I could understand something like 30%. When he was listening with the Bengali ears, the pronunciation, 30% I understood, not more. The 70% completely mispronounced, wrong pronounced. So that we should also endeavor a little bit. Now, when we quote Shastra, when we quote verses, let us try to endeavor to pronounce properly. Otherwise, it's embarrassing. When we, in case we have some native Indians, Bengalis, or those who speak nicely Sanskrit, and then we quote completely wrong pronunciation, not very good. Everything we should do, paka, nice as possible. So that is also there. Bhagavat tulashi gangaya bhakta jone. There are four things. Chathuda means four. Besides the Maha Mantra, Lord Krishna also appears in four different vigraha manifestations, forms in this material world. The most important manifestation of Lord Krishna, of course, is the Maha Mantra. Normally at this point, we do this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In some temples, and everybody is raising their arms like they do, Hare Krishna. So this is one form, but there are four other forms. Chatuda Bigraha, Krishna, Aid Sharishane. And that is Bhagavat. Bhagavat means Srimad Bhagavatam. That Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also a manifestation of Lord Krishna. Non-different from Krishna. Just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, we immediately associate with Lord Krishna. It is even further mentioned, not only Krishna, we also associate with the gopis. Srimati Radharani, all the associates of the Lord, we associate immediately. And that's why there's a similar verse you might have noticed. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayul Janadyasa Varagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. It's a similar verse. So we just associate with Lord Krishna in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, all the associates of the Lord, then naturally knowledge that will be there, develop. Vairagya also, detachment will develop, everything develops. We don't have to separately endeavor to become detached. We just have to engage in devotional service. Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavat, Tulashi, Tulsi Devi. Also, another manifestation of Krishna, non-different from Krishna. Bhagavat Tulashi Gangaya, Ganga. There's also another form in this world of Krishna. Bhagavat Tulashi Gangaya, Bhakta Jane. The Bhakta, the devotees, Jane, Jana. Association of the devotees, it is so powerful. Also non-different from Krishna. Bhagavat Tulashi Gangaya Bhakta Jani Chatuda Vigraha Krishna Aid Sharisane. Anyone who takes shelter in the Maha Mantra and in these four things, then he is delivered without interruption. He is immediately delivered from the clutches of material existence. So then when Migrari was delivered by Narada Muni, naturally he asked the first question, then what shall I do? Now, my profession is hunting, killing these animals, half-killing. This is our family tradition. Half-killing, very nice to see the animals, you know, struggling on the ground, very exciting. One Srila Prabhupada told that story. The one small child, and the father was cutting off the head of the chicken, and then the rest of the body was just hobbling around, and the father, he enjoyed it, he was laughing, hoo, hoo, hoo. But the child was crying like anything. What is this? Sort of tradition, the hunter also half killing, and he enjoyed it. But then, of course, he surrendered to Narada Muni, accepted him as his guru. And this was the first question. This is what I did before. What shall I do now? Shishugoni Taiki. What shall I do now? And then the first instruction was that you have to break your bow, your bow and arrows. Break your bow and throw away your arrows. That's the first thing you have to do. And then stop all these sinful activities. And Migrari accepted immediately. But then next question was, how can I maintain myself? How can I? This is what I earned my livelihood in this way. You know, what shall I do now? Narada Muni explained that you don't have to worry. That Srila Prabhupada, he quotes that verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Yoga Kshemam Vaham Yaham, that whatever the devotee needs, Lord Krishna supplies, he will deliver. Whatever he has, Lord Krishna will maintain, we don't have to worry. It is not that the bow is feeding you, but Krishna is feeding you. In fact, all poshanam, Lord Krishna maintains all the living entities, not only a hunter or this or that. All living beings are being maintained. The elephants, they do not have to go into the factory and work, but they are living very nicely. Now, who maintains them? That's the question. So why devotees are so much worried? How shall I eat? Where shall I sleep tomorrow? What shall I do? The only thing we can choose is how we want to maintain ourselves. Everything is being provided. We just choose in which way I want to be maintained. That choice we have. And the brahmanas, some of the brahmanas, they do not take to any occupation. Imagine, no occupation. They just do yagya, puja. Yeah, of course, they're being maintained. Of course, one advantage is there. You have to consider it used to be the system in the Vedic culture to maintain the renunciants, the brahmanas, the tyagis. They were maintained. Everybody knew that principle. I have to give dakshin to the brahmanas. So that, unfortunately, because of the Vedic, lack of the Vedic culture, that's why it's so confusing how to live in a simple way, how to maintain myself. It's so confusing. Because the Vedic culture is gone. Like if you want to teach, and a teacher should never accept salary or ask for salary, then the shakti of his teaching will be gone, lost, no effect. So a brahmana never accepts salary. But then if you tell in the Western countries, you know, people, I will give a very nice seminar. It is for free. Oh, everybody's in ecstasy. For free. And they take it literally for free. But the Vedic culture means, yes, for free, but you're supposed to give some dakshin. According to your means, whatever. Some bring some grains, some rice. Some bring some Lakshmi, money, whatever you have. But something has to be given. That's the Vedic culture. But here nobody knows. And then you give your seminar, you teach others, and then you cannot maintain yourself. Then, of course, you have to ask for something. And then they complain. Oh, you are not supposed to ask for anything. What shall I do? Because nobody knows this Vedic principle of giving dakshin. That's why I have to charge something. Because I have to. But we should not overcharge. That is not good. And then we fall into the category of professional reciters, professional teachers. That is not good. So that was his question. And then, of course, Narada Muni explained, you don't have to worry. You will get your food. Don't worry every day. So then what happened, the people in that surrounding area, they heard about this incident, how this former hunter, this cruel person, became a Vaishnava devotee. So they were all excited. They were just flocking, going to that place, visiting, and they all brought some gifts. And then he noticed every day he received so many gifts, so much food stuff, so many grains. He said, what is this? We're just two persons. So another instruction Narada Muni gave, you should take vanaprast immediately. He was already aged. the hunter. So that's what they did. They only dressed in one simple cloth and planting tulsi, watering tulsi every day, chanting Hare Krishna all the time. And then so many people visited them and they all brought gifts. Then Narada Muni with the Parvata Muni, they both together visited Migrari, the hunter. And then you know that incident from a far distance. He noticed his spiritual master's coming and his associate, Parvata Muni, and then he was avoiding stepping on the ants. So nice. And when Parvata Muni saw that, then he explained that what a wonderful touchstone you are. What is a very nice verse. First of all, sadhuvarya. Sadhuvarya means the best of gentlemen. Now this former hunter, killing animals, he became a sadhuvarya, the best of gentlemen. So well behaved, he avoiding stepping on ants. Not even able anymore to kill even an ant. How wonderful. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains very strongly. This, according to the Vedic culture, Narada Muni, animal killers are not even gentlemen, to say nothing of being religious men. A religious person, a devotee of the Lord, must be non-violent. This is the nature of a religious person. It is contradictory to be violent and at the same time call oneself a religious person. Such hypocrisy is not approved by Narada Muni and the disciplic succession. Very strong. A religious person must be non-violent. There's no question of killing. And then he fetched water, washed the sage's feet with great devotion. Then both husband and wife drank that water and sprinkled it on their heads. Just see how much devotion. That's the Vedic culture. If the guru's spiritual master is visiting, that's the etiquette. Not guru's visiting, immediately challenge. Why you do this? Why you do that? No. You wash the feet and sprinkle that water, drink that water, Hare Krishna. So, not easy, but that's the etiquette. So much guru bhakti he had. And that's why he advanced so much. That's the principle. So much advancement. Sparsha mani. That's, I was looking for this. Money, you know, money means like jewel. And sparsha means touch, sparsha, touch. So touch jewel or touch stone. This was the potency of Narada Muni. Anybody who came in contact with Narada Muni, he was transformed immediately, like a touch stone. So Parvata Muni, he noticed that. You're just like a sparsha, sparsha mani, like a touch jewel, touch stone. Seeing the symptoms of this Migrari. And then also Migrari, he started the chanting in front of Narada Muni and Parvata Muni, and while chanting, tears appeared in his eyes, his body started trembling, and he was waving his upper garment up and down like a madman. You know that? So these are symptoms of ecstasy. And then Parvata Muni, he was just amazed. How is this possible? After such a short time, this former hunter, now he displays all the symptoms of ecstasy. This is not possible. Such is the potency of the of Narada Muni. Then Srila Prabhupada explains in one of the purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way advised his followers to increase the numbers of Vaishnavas to preach, following in the footsteps of Narada Muni. Then he quotes that verse, Jani Deka Tarika. Everybody, Guru Haya, Tade Edesha, your land, wherever you are, you deliver everybody in that area, wherever you might reside, become a guru. That is to be expected. Not let the gurus, the present gurus do everything. Everybody has to become a guru. That's the Lord's instruction. This instruction is not for the gurus, because they're already gurus. Gurus are already gurus. So this verse is not just for the gurus. They're already gurus. It is meant, this verse is meant for those who are not gurus. Now you also become guru. You take up that responsibility, and Prabhupada, he pacifies us, you know, because we might get a white face, me guru. He says, it is not very difficult. What is the difficulty? Guru, to be guru is very simple. You just follow the instruction of your guru and you repeat to others. This is what my guru said, and you repeat, Hare Krishna, that's all, dear guru. Qualified, bona fide. Then others, they will take shelter at your lotus feet. They will develop faith. You just repeat what you heard. They listen to it. Oh, then how can I surrender to Krishna? And then you tell them how to surrender to Krishna. You chant Hare Krishna. Now, what else shall I do? Then use your brain, you know, like a guru. You can then you can also start. You can take advantage. Revanche. Then you can also do it. Then use your intelligence. What else you have? Oh, I have two cars. Two cars, not good. Should only have what you need, absolutely necessity. So you give the other car to Krishna. Right? You help them to engage in devotional service. Otherwise they don't know. They don't know what is to be done, what is not to be done. You instruct, you help them. And then, of course, you will have no problems of your maintenance. Just give Krishna consciousness to others, and you will be maintained without any problem. But, of course, that does not mean one should go into the other extreme. Traveling around, and putting everything in one's pocket. That we also had, unfortunately, in the past. So much preaching, and everything goes into the one's own pocket. No. The preacher should only need absolutely what he needs. And then the rest, that he benefits the society. So, like then Srila Prabhupada makes the point, stressing the importance of the difference between the Kanishtha Adhikaris and the Madhyam Adhikaris. Kanishtha Adhikaris, they have unfortunately no interest to preach. They are more concerned about their own spiritual well-being. But those who are a little more advanced, Madhyam Adhikaris, they take interest in preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness. They receive consequently more mercy of Guru, which means more realization. And more empowerment to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Are there any questions? Again. Many more things could be said, but I think that's sufficient for today. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? Yes? Yes. Yeah, I'm also a little confused. See, sometimes I even tend to think, you know, what's the use of the gurus? I mean, meaning myself. What is my guru position anyway? I strongly always tend to think, of course I'm not advertising the Ritvik philosophy, this is not my point. But these are feelings, because I strongly feel, I explain sometimes to others also, these are my personal feelings that Srila Prabhupada has given everything. It is not that, you know, I am, as a guru, I'm giving Krishna consciousness to someone. Prabhupada gave Krishna consciousness to the entire world already, established in his teachings, especially his literatures, and of course so many other forms of teachings, his thousands of letters, thousands of hours of lectures Srila Prabhupada delivered, room conversations, so much knowledge. So how can anybody else claim, I give you now Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada did already, it is established. Srila Prabhupada's books are considered to be the spiritual law books for mankind. It's already there. How to practice Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada explained. how Prabhupada already answered, Prabhupada already explained. So what else we need? This is sometimes how I feel. But it is for our own purification to sit here and give a class. That's for my purification. Otherwise, what else shall I do? I will just sit somewhere else and speculate. It's very purifying. You sit and you concentrate, control your mind, you talk about Krishna. This is self-purifying. But I'm not feeling now I give you Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada. I just, you know, read Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes when I read Srila Prabhupada's purpose, especially when they're a little bit longer, I have no desire whatsoever to speak. It's just perfectly explained. What else is there to say? But again, for my own self-purification, I have to speak. This is also one instruction of Srila Prabhupada. He wanted his disciples to explain themselves the philosophy and to write. So that's all meant for our self-purification, because then realization will come if you speak and if you write. Realization will come. That's the process. Then you hear, you repeat, hear, repeat. Then you begin to realize. So that's why we are doing. But not, I deliver now Krishna consciousness. That Srila Prabhupada already did. The only thing we can do is to make people aware of it. We talk in such a way that we invoke their interest in Srila Prabhupada's books, because that's the law. Everything is established. This is actually our preaching. Just like if someone wants to, you're working for Siemens, right? So this is the product. You are advertising, selling a particular product. So all you have to do is you're not supposed to attempt creating, you know, something. It's already there. The product is already there. It's already created. So all you do is you talk to the customers in such a way that they take interest in the product, and then you sell it. This is factually our preaching work. Whenever we go out, we do public programs, we individually talk to people. All we have to do, we're just salesmen of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. We just have to talk, speak in such a way that they take interest in the product, in Srila Prabhupada's teachings, in Srila Prabhupada's books, not in me. Isn't it nice how I explain to you Krishna consciousness? Isn't therefore surrender to me? The Acharya, founder Acharya, he is a foundation. That's the meaning of founder. He is the very foundation of everyone's Krishna consciousness. All the other gurus, what they do is to simply bring them to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Take shelter, Srila Prabhupada. That's the Uttama. Uttama Bhakta. It is right there. Everybody is supposed to take shelter at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. See, all these thoughts come up. I have to accept the topmost, replacing the one who is topmost. Only we can attempt is to follow the topmost Bhakta, the Parama Bhakta, the Prema Bhakta, all these terms. The only endeavor the present gurus and disciples can do is to follow his teachings, his footsteps. In any case, you will not find in Uttama one. Because if someone is in Uttama Adhikari, you know, Prem Guru, he will not tell you, yes, I'm a, now finally you found one. Because I am one. So how will you ever find out? Because if you ask him, he will not say, I'm the most fallen soul. What are you talking? Uttama, I'm the most fallen. Go somewhere else. This will be the reaction of one who's really an Uttama Bhakta, Uttama Adhikari. He will never claim. If you ask him, are you Uttama? He will not say, yes, of course. Finally you found me. Took you quite some time. Why you are so slow? Chastisement immediately. Instruction, chastising. No, I'm most fallen. Go somewhere else. You will never find. So the only thing is you have to become one yourself. Then you will see, oh, he is also. So how long you want to wait? And even if you are, again you think I'm not. You will never find, never understand. So, but everybody understands that Srila Prabhupada, he is one. Otherwise it is not possible. One has to be directly empowered by Lord Krishna in order to be able to spread Krishna consciousness single-handedly all over the world. You must be one of the topmost devotees of the Lord, if not an eternal associate of the Lord. Generally, these Sampradaya Acharyas, Samsthapaka Acharya, they are eternal associates of the Lord. So we cannot even begin to imagine Srila Prabhupada's transcendental position. So that is already there. We don't have to look, find. Srila Prabhupada is there, and everybody is supposed to take shelter at Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. But still, the instruction of our founder Acharya is that one must accept a living, that's the Guru Parampara, Guru. And as long as he follows strictly in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, not deviating in any way, strictly following, doing, and also being commissioned, he's sanctioned to accept disciples, that also must be there. Some kind of recognition, not that everybody claims I'm a guru. Or you just accept someone, you are my guru, although he's not officially initiating. Of course, that is also being encouraged nowadays. That this is being encouraged. If you really feel that someone is like your guru, then that can be brought to the attention of the managerial body of ISKCON, and then that devotee can also be accepted as guru, if provided he's qualified. Because sometimes it happens that a particular devotee does not really want to be function as a guru. He's happy the way he is, but others, they begin to take more and more shelter at his feet, and then this is brought to the attention. And that is being recognized, and then he gets that permission to officially accept disciples. So that option is also there, even though someone is not presently initiating, but I really feel that he is my guru. So that option is also there. Although we have to be a little cautious with that, because I have a little bit of experience. In Russia, we had some devotees. They precisely wanted to do that. They thought one particular senior devotee, he is definitely my guru. So they were meditating, and for years and years they were had this thought, I will accept him as my guru, although he's not officially initiating. So then finally, after some years, they took the courage, would you accept me as your disciple? Then they said, no, what are you talking? I'm not accepting disciples. No way. And they thought, well, that's his humbleness, his humility. They were waiting another 2-3 years, but he didn't accept. So this can be quite confusing. Not even in the future, they just don't accept disciples. Finished. then so we should not make our life unnecessarily too complicated. Like Srila Prabhupada also said, when this discussion came up, then who should accept who, you know, which guru? Prabhupada said, whoever is close, nearest. Prabhupada indicated, whoever is nearest, you accept. Then they can accept. So we should not make it too complicated. And my reply to your question is, our actual consideration is whoever follows Srila Prabhupada, his instructions, his teachings, without fail, precisely, and then he's qualified. But you can look forever. If you want to find an Uttama Adhikari, you can look forever. Unless you're one, you cannot recognize. If you're Uttama, then you can see. If not, you will not see. But then how to find out? Because they will never claim, yes, I'm Uttama. Difficult to see, difficult to recognize. This also happened in the past. So many people thought there's one Uttama, but actually one who was Uttama, he could not support that. Not easy. So that's like Srila Prabhupada talked about himself. What was my qualification? He said, I don't have any qualification. Only qualification I might have, that is, I just follow my spiritual master 100% without any adding something or subtracting something, just repeating. I was hearing carefully, I'm repeating the only qualification. Prabhupada did not point to other qualifications. So if we see that qualification in someone, his whole life, just hearing carefully, repeating carefully, following the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, qualified. That's the qualification. And not deviating, not becoming distracted to anything else. At least for in a significant number of years. Like his whole life, practically. Then that's the qualification. Of course, he also, like, descriptions of Madhyam Adhikari are there. He has to know the Shastras. And Uttama, he's fixed in Shastra. No doubts whatsoever, completely fixed in Shastra. And in one purport, Prabhupada gave a very simple definition of Uttama Adhikari. He's always meditating how to deliver the fallen souls. That's the most important symptom. He's not meditating on so many other things. Always meditating how to deliver the fallen souls. You know, making various plans. Always thinking, how can we attract them to Krishna consciousness? How can we absorb? That's the most important symptom of Uttama. With
David Allen.
Yeah. See, even Lord Krishna also attempted to convince the Kauravas about the war. He personally went. He said, "This, why you get into this?" He was personally talking, Duryodhana, personally talking to him. Why don't you change? Why you fight? Why you want to fight like this? This is not good. There's a battle, Kurukshetra. You know, what are the consequences? But Krishna was not successful. There's so many other examples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself, how much he attempted to train his disciples. And he also, he told them he desired to form this GBC, same managerial body, and then cooperate nicely. He was not successful. But that's not the fault of the Acharya. That's the fault of this boy, Alan. That's his fault. The Prabhupada, he was so merciful. He gave him that chance, but he didn't accept. So that, you know, freedom of choice, that it doesn't matter what an elevated Vaishnava you might be, you cannot just destroy the freedom of choice. So migrari, something was there. That otherwise, most probably, Narada Muni would not even attempt. If he was really totally against being delivered by Narada Muni. Sometimes that risk we have to take. A preacher, a acharya especially, he's taking risks in his service for Krishna. Prabhupada was risking like anything. He gave sannyas, although he definitely saw, well, they're not qualified. But at least, they want, so many approach Srila Prabhupada. I want to take sannyas, young, passionate brahmacharis. Sometimes Prabhupada try to caution them, but they want, all right, you take. And then Prabhupada knew at least for some time, then Krishna consciousness will be spread very intensively. So that is good. He took that risk. And some survived, and they're doing nice. Some not. That's the risk. So Prabhupada delivered some not. Some disciples surrendered more and more, some not. That's the risk the preacher is taking. Even Lord Krishna, this is one verse. Savadamam parijaja, Lord Krishna gives his instruction, but so many people don't understand. They don't accept. And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared. Even in the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what was his name? Kala Krishna Das. He also became attracted to, got entangled with these Bataharis. Bataharis and to black magic. He became attracted. He became allured by the ladies. And then Mahaprabhu personally had to go and he pulled him out by the seeker, like, you come with me now. So even in the Lord's presence, he deviated. So that is not the fault of the acharya if someone does not surrender, although he attempts to train him, to guide him. That's the freedom of choice, independence we always have. Like when one of the big leaders in ISKCON, Prabhupada disciple, when he fell down, Prabhupada was very, very concerned, of course. He was affected. Prabhupada was crying. And then the other disciples asked, how is this possible, Srila Prabhupada? And then Prabhupada replied, just see Lord Brahma himself once. He became bewildered. He gave the example of Lord Brahma. What to speak of us? So this can happen any time. And then Prabhupada said, because we always have the free choice, this is why it happens. Lord Krishna does not take away by force that freedom of choice. He does not interfere. Otherwise, where is the individual existence? This is precisely our individuality, that free choice, surrender, not surrender. This is me. This is my I. Otherwise, we are one with Krishna, part and parcel of Krishna, no difference. We are small Krishnas. But what is my individuality different from Krishna's individuality? This is exactly this freedom of choice, surrender, not surrender. That, of course, Krishna never interferes with. And this is why someone surrenders some nut. This question always comes up. Why does someone, you know, fall down another nut? Freedom of choice. Some will, some not. There's no question of why. It must be there. Why ask why? It must be the individuality. One person will decide like this, another person will decide like that. Related to surrender to Krishna, not the modes of nature. That's might be all karmic conditioned. But I talk about the soul's desire, the soul's, not the bodies or anything related to the material nature. The soul's desire or conclusion or decision to surrender to Krishna or not, that is the individuality. And this is not the same. Everybody equally surrender, Haribo. No, some will, some not. Why? That's the individuality. There's no question of why. Must be there. Of course, that does not mean we should conclude if someone decides, I will not surrender to Krishna, we respect that. Oh, very good. Yeah. Because this is your choice. We don't like, of course. What are you doing? You should surrender to Krishna. No. But at one point you have to respect. You cannot lock him up in a cellar and beat him up to, you know, you surrender. We try anything to keep someone in the process of surrendering to Krishna. But if eventually, repeatedly and consistently he doesn't want, then at one point you have to respect that. Okay, whatever, Hare Krishna. But we never, of course, bless it or sanction it. Yes. You have my blessings to go to hell. Sometimes guru does to teach others. If someone is really obnoxious, offending spiritual master, then he might give that blessings also. Yes, you have my blessings to go to hell. Just a strong, you know, strong message to anybody else. Don't get into this. Lord Krishna also does it in the Gita. Lord Krishna explains all the consequences of not surrendering to him. What is happening to these demonic species? They're being cast into demonic species life after life after life. That's the consequence of not surrendering to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam, last question. Jiva Ken? No, I didn't say. Oh. Oh. The Lord Brahma, yes, because Brahma, that is Jiva. Jiva, tattva, a jiva takes the position of Lord Brahma. If there's no jiva available, then Lord Krishna himself takes that position. But Shiva I never heard, because Shiva, he is not jiva tattva. Lord Shiva tattva is exactly between jiva tattva and Vishnu tattva. In between. It's not, Shiva is not a jiva tattva. A jiva cannot occupy the position of Shiva. Is that possible? Oh, well, I'm flexible, I'm open. But I have to see it, how it's being explained and everything. But normally that is not possible. You have to belong to the Shiva tattva. The Jiva cannot change his tattva, become Shiva tattva. We have to see how it's being explained, described, and like that. Maybe related to the Rudra's performance, I don't know. But that these categories are there, they're eternal. Eternal categories. Jiva, Shiva, Vishnu. These are three different tattvas. So you have to bring the reference and then we can look at it and then see what's being explained. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Hare Krishna.